Welcome to today's Booze Podcast with me, Graham Farmer. Firstly, let's start, make sure everyone's okay, everyone's safe, and they're staying at home. And please, please, please stay at home, stay safe, and don't go out if you don't, unless you need to. Follow the advice of the government, or your government, and stay at home. You've been given the right to stay at home and make music, so please, please go and do that thing. Today on the podcast, I chat to the Everyday Agency, and they're a global music and marketing events company. And we chatted about a new blog post that they've written, which I've put in the show notes, about running a business in a disrupted world. This conversation was really, really interesting for me. I really enjoyed it. Obviously, we've had lots of recent global challenges: Brexit, coronavirus, disastrous bushfires, climate change pressures, political unrest, and mental health issues increasing. So it was really interesting to look at all of these things. And the guys every day have come up with some amazing thoughts on this matter, and it really does make you think, this podcast, and I really hope you enjoy it.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hi Graham, good to meet.
Hi Graham. Yeah, we're Matt and Sunita from the Everyday Agency.
Amazing to meet you. Thank you for coming on the podcast. I'm very excited to talk to you about all the things you do.
Yeah, we can't wait to be on the show. Thank you so much for inviting us.
So let's just talk for yourselves. If you can kind of introduce yourselves and kind of how, what you do and how you got to where you are now, and kind of just kind of brief overview what you're up to.
Yeah, great. So we've been running the agency now. It's a full service marketing agency covering everything from social media right through to website design, press, content marketing, the whole works really. We set this up about 6 years ago. I was working in financial services, loving life obviously.
So corporate marketing meets creative marketing. I came from specifically the music industry. So Sunita came where there's a lot of rules, and I came where we spent our lives breaking rules.
Yeah. How was that? How was that like collision, man?
Well, it was really great actually, because I've got more of an analytical mind, and the way I approach things is quite methodical, whereas Matt, as you know, music industry kind of style, everything's very free-flowing, almost chaotic in a good way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously born from the vinyl years, and obviously so independent labels before moving to publishing and some majors, so you can sort of see that definition kind of brought a whole different ethic, where you have to look from the inside out, as well as still also look at the consumer side.
So amazing. It's a perfect blend really for us. It works perfectly, and it's great when we're dealing with, you know, either music industry clients or sustainable projects that we work with, or big corporates, because you know you've got that blend of two different minds.
Today you've announced you've basically put a plan out of how to run a business in a disrupted world, and I've just been reading through it, and it's truly amazing. We are adapting obviously every second at the moment because of the massive changes that are happening around the world. So I thought we'd talk through this. I thought it was very relevant for where the world is generally, and artists are generally today. So I guess I'll leave it over to you, and let's just go through it point by point, because it's like there's so much in there and it's so interesting, and we'll just basically make an audio version of your written thing, which just sounds pretty fun.
Perfect. I mean, the platform's there to be shared en masse, and obviously for people to sort of glean what they need to from it. Otherwise, obviously connect via you or connect directly to us to learn more information. Generally, what we tend to do is we're people, so we love to help people, and wherever we can extend some advice, we always will.
Yeah, so with this as well, I mean, the whole reason this came about is it isn't the first time we've had disruption. Definitely
yes.
Not. I mean, you know, throughout music industry as well, when piracy was really on the increase, you know, in terms of just, that was hugely disruptive from vinyl into digital. So, you know, this isn't the first time, but, you know, this particular time is quite difficult for nearly everybody that we can think of, you know, unless you're a pharmaceutical company or you're doing prescription kind of things. It's really kind of taken a big turn for everybody.
And all the way along the chain as well.
Yeah, so what we really wanted to come through with this is that, you know, it isn't really the end of the world that, you know, we're having so much disruption right now. There are a lot of things that everyone can do right now. And, you know, artists, DJs and labels and everything, there's still some really concrete bits of advice that we can give. And that's how this kind of was born. So we started off, you know, we've had Brexit this year. We've obviously had coronavirus, and people around the world have been affected by other things such as like climate change and bushfires. So, you know, it's been, you know, 2020 has been quite heavy already.
Yeah, mega, right? We're only 3 months in. It's just like, what the hell?
Well, everyone was saying on all the counts there's always going to be a big year. So there you go, it's already started.
It just means it's going to end really, really well. So, you know, the main thing to know about disruption is it really is just about adapting to change. So, you know, we're going through this period right now, but we really need to look at, you know, we always say be a chameleon, you know, adapt to the terrain as much as you possibly can. So for an artist, for example, yeah, you might not have your gigs right now, which really is a blow, especially in terms of income, but there's lots of other things that you could be doing right now. And, you know, we start by talking about the foundations of that. So a lot of DJs out there, they're not particularly good at the social media side of things. And this, you know, is a big part of the process. So I would, you know, definitely recommend using this time really well whilst you're not at gigs, maybe not drinking so much, having late nights, to really start, you know, putting in some effort into your social media, you know, the assets that you use, the branding, that kind of thing. And this is all the really nice stuff that you can have some fun with as well.
Reverting back to the basics, literally looking at what the proposition is, what's the difference between you and normally in a consumer field, they say a competitor, but say compared to other artists or other festivals, other events. And yes. So really look at your own internal branding and how you choose to shine that and what assets you have. That could be from your EPK right through to, you know, the whole mix of music, how you catalogue things, and literally look at all your pieces of paper, all your contracts from the inside out. Maximise.
Yeah, things like looking at building Spotify playlists, that sort of thing, and just building those numbers up whilst you're not able to do anything, you know?
And it's a perfect time because, you know, loads of people are going to be, especially if they're in quarantine, like in whole, like Spain and Italy, they're going to be spending a lot of time on their phones. So, you know, it's a great time to, you know, get content out there and get in front of people as much as possible. It's not to, like, you know, saturate the market and become, you know, a bit annoying, but it's like creating that nice balance in between, you know, sharing music, sharing stories that are really important and getting in front of people.
It's the foundation of our literally the house scene. So it's literally building community and connecting people.
Yes, I've also seen some great live streams already this week as well, using the technology trying to get your music out there as well, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, during this period, you know, you don't want to be getting complacent either. So, you know, really turning everything on its head, you know, what we do at tea, what we call it is catastrophizing. So
that's a lovely word, man.
You know, we are really, really optimistic as a team. And, you know, we hate to like think about the negative, but it's a really good tool, and it really helps with stress management as well, because you're literally thinking of all the different potential difficult things that could happen in the future. And, you know, once you've mapped it all out, you kind of know it all, and it's great from there, and you can start like problem solving quite naturally.
There's clear lines on a way to navigate through it.
So one thing, you know, we would say as well, you know, the main thing, especially with artists, is not having gigs. So is there a way to, you know, we've seen great examples of this with, you know, Jamie James yesterday and Eric Murillo going on live streams. I mean, that was brilliant.
Yeah, and we're doing one of Data Transmission all weekend as well. Actually, we're very excited. We're giving it over to new talent and new artists and giving them some space because we're worried that they're going to get left out with all these big guys doing artists and streams.
That's a brilliant idea. I love that as well. And we've been saying, you know, a lot of, like, you know, support local and, you know, the smaller individuals, because they're the ones that are going to be really impacted right now.
And that's the ones we're looking after.
That's a great idea. I love that. We'll definitely be tuning in then this weekend. And that's really important right now because, you know, especially music industry, it's so much dependent on, you know, physically being with each other as well, you know, dancing on the dance floor. So, you know, using this time to really think of ways that even though we've got this social distancing problem right now, how can we become even more connected? I mean, there's different apps. I mean, you've probably seen them as well, Graham, like House Party. You know, there's different ways to get everybody on. I mean, we've already had a few invites, especially from Ibiza, you know, they don't stop with the parties. So, they definitely want everyone to kind of be connected as much as possible whilst everyone's kind of in isolation.
Yeah, I saw a really good one this morning. It's called Pub. What's it called, Shelley? Pub Hub. Basically, it's like going to the pub with your mates, but in this mad hub, yeah.
Yeah, so that's great. Our co-working space has done that as well. So they're actually called the Hub Ibiza, but they've like totally crossed out the pub and put Hub Quiz, basically, we're going to be joining that at 8:30 today. But, you know, just different ways to kind of keep the community going. And, you know, if you're an artist, it might be as simple as like sharing music and, you know, connecting with other DJs in that kind of way, swapping mixes. You know, it's a great time to be producing music right now.
Yeah, and also getting music signed right now is ridiculous because all the major artists are all just sat around twiddling their thumbs essentially. So they're I've signed so much music this week for my artists. It's been amazing.
Yeah, and essentially, I mean, you're finding a lot of labels and a lot of main A&R heads are more receptive at the moment because instead of literally being bombarded whilst they're playing the balancing act or touring, essentially they're engaged and they're online pretty much. So and they're listening to everything from a different perspective. I mean, you see a lot of new music, a lot of new artists break through as they're going to get the airtime. It's essential, really.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's some artists that can have some major wins across this period if they get it really right, you know.
Great, and it's going to really like hopefully lift the underground a little bit more because everyone's going to be coming from a bit of a even playing field, I would say, right now.
I agree. Like you can, I feel like in the next coming weeks there could be artists that just pop out of nowhere just because they've either got a live stream game right or they've got something right and they've just innovated and come up with something, you know.
Yeah, I mean, traditionally when these things sort of happen, that's why we suggest a SWOT analysis, is literally breaking down everything, exactly what you're doing, how you're doing it, where you're going with it. Essentially, a lot of people do these things naturally, but a lot of the big companies will be looking at their teams and how they're actually staying balanced, whilst all the independent players can sort of step forward and say, right, actually, I don't have any blockages. Here's how I'm going to engage an audience, or here's how I'm going to run forward, or here's all the catalogue I've sat on. Let's get it distributed.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, and I think what people need to remember as well, that even though we're going through so much disruption, it's such a great time for innovation. So, you know, previously, like I think I've already mentioned, you know, when vinyl went digital, like Matt used to be head buyer for HMV, it was disastrous because HMV weren't really ahead of the curve at the time.
Yeah,
they had a huge market share, but again, is the bigger the machine, the harder it is to make changes proactively.
And Matt even, and had recommended to them, you know, you need to go digital. But it's kind of laughed upon a little bit back then. Yeah. Whereas you've got some smaller independents like Tracksource, who that's where they really started to thrive because they were really combating the piracy that kind of happened around then, you know, and artists losing money and, you know, not getting any value for their music.
And essentially built the whole product line around that. And as you know, it's still flowing really strong today.
Yeah, I love Tracksource and I love the guys at Tracksource. I think what they're doing is amazing. It's such a good resource, and they are, yeah, I mean, you can get amazing music on there. It's just on there as well, which is great.
Great, right, yeah, I think the beauty of it is they still hand your everything. So they have an internal A&R team, so it's not all digitised. They literally keep that hand-in-hand, the personality and the character, and that's literally supporting the whole industry as such.
I completely agree with you about innovation, like, the way just really just changing everything you think about and just going, right, what can we do now and how can we innovate and what can we use, what platforms can we use? Like Twitch, I think, is an amazing platform that could be definitely used for artists, that if someone gets that right, they could be A, making money, and B, you know, creating a whole new audience and a whole new way of working, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely a brave new world, and you are starting to see people testing these platforms. Now's the time to do it. Also looking at things, as you know, as networks and connections. So literally people looking back at the boring things, but their spreadsheets or their CRMs or how they're going to engage, how they're going to get the message out to people.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, as you know, a creative industry being the music industry, they're very good at doing the products and the creativity side. But in terms of, like, the analytical side, you know, making sure your database is up to date, that you've got the right people when you're sending music out, that kind of thing. Or even if you're looking for gigs, it's just, it could be made so much more simpler. And, you know, you take away some of those tasks that become quite mundane sometimes. But if you try to automate them with the right tools and systems, like we use Pipedrive, we've got different mailing servers for different marketing things we want to do as well. We've got different project management systems. So, you know, for different labels that we work with, they tend to use Asana and things like that, or they can use Monday. And I think quite a few people are familiar with Slack as well. When you start getting bigger teams, it's quite useful to have some of these tools so you can, you know, keep it all compartmentalized almost. And you get the systems and everything working for you a little bit better. That's what you want. So then your mind is free to do creative things.
Yeah.
And whilst running in the background, you can then also be looking at the side analytics, as you know, for data transmission. Essentially, a lot of your things will be built on stats. You really got to know the best times to hit people, to curate things.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we I've been doing a lot of that this weekend, I think, going through my stats and seeing and really breaking them down. That's this weekend's plan.
Yeah, as I often say, it's quite kind of the boring stuff or the back end stuff. It's actually quite exciting because you can see sort of where there's spikes, and when you are doing something correct, that's when you need to maximize on it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you really start understanding trends in that way as well. You know, just seeing who is clicking through on different elements. You know, what are people actually interested in right now? What type of music as well, I suppose, and different aspects that you've got. Yeah, it's quite interesting. And, you know, going back to like the innovation side of things again, I think it's a really exciting time, even though there's so much chaos at the minute.
What I agree. I love that optimism. I put a post out on Instagram this morning just saying that this is what I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that I've done this and I'm grateful that I've done that. And start the day with grateful and then work on innovation, because it just puts you in a much, much, much happier place, you know?
Yeah, and it will come. It will definitely come. And, you know, I think from this, we're going to see some really cool things coming through. And hopefully, I really hope there'll be some great things that support the creative industry, because, you know, there's not been so much recently that's really supported it. And it would be great to have some, you know, new tools or new ways of doing things. And like I said, you know, with social distancing right now, I think we're all getting a bit creative of how to make sure that we stay connected, that isn't driving us mad with lots of WhatsApp messages and things like that. You know, seeing real faces and you know, yes, videos, all that kind of thing is really helpful right now.
And I think that grand picture brings it back down to the next point that from the piece we produced was bringing it from global to local, which would bring everything back in again to a smaller circle. You're seeing clubs do it as well, like the Berlin clubs are starting to look at how they're going to stay buoyant, and they're relying on their immediate networks. So literally everything from the smaller scale before you take it big. Otherwise, I mean, it becomes a runaway ship where you don't know where the poles are in the boat.
Yeah, one of our local clubs here in Milton Keynes is like everyone is trying to help them, because they're literally the only venue in the whole city, and we just got them to a place where they were like, it's a cool venue and there's regular people, and it's like now they've been hit with this, and it's like, what can we do to help them, you know? And been on the WhatsApp with them trying to brainstorm on how we can help them, and yeah, very local.
Outside of the show, feel free to connect with us, and we're quite proactive with literally coming up with creative concepts and let you see what else we can put forward.
Amazing.
I'm looking forward to support that and any other projects that really need that assistance.
And then the next one was profit before people before profit even.
Yeah, I mean, this is a real big ethos at Tea. I mean, it's just been how we've been ingrained. I mean, when we first started the agency 6 years ago, the reason why it was started is because, like I said, I was in financial services, and on the side, I was doing charity work basically, but through marketing. So I was providing free marketing advice for Cancer Research and Mind Birmingham and various other charities. And from that point, it really like planted the seed. This is what I just wanted to do. I didn't want to be in financial services doing marketing because it's so restrictive and there's no freedom to do anything, as you can imagine.
Yeah, fair.
And this is how the Everyday Agency was born. So we've always had like, you know, this really ingrained in us. You know, we always do free charity advice. We do lots of different projects around the world, whether it's India or Ibiza or Uganda, you know, to provide as much as we possibly can. And we just really feel that, you know, doing the right thing, like from the very beginning, is more important than, you know, any financial reward that you can get. And you can really see this trend. I'm sure you've seen it, Graham, as well. You know, how the world is just changing, and especially even after this disruption, people are really being very conscious about the decisions, whether it's food that they buy, the type of brands that buying, you know, whether they fly, you know, where we have so many clients who refuse to fly now, or they really take a big reduction in what they actually do. So, and it goes right through to festivals and events as well. So, you know, we have, you know, various people that we know who do completely green festivals, such as Meadows in the Mountains. And, you know, from, you know, they're all about zero waste and, you know, recycling as much as possible, because, you know, the event industry is, you know, really bad in terms of the sustainability side of things.
Yeah, and Blondish has a bye-bye plastic campaign where we're getting everyone to take plastic off their riders, which is incredible. And the amount of numbers they've got signed up to that now is amazing. And the amount of clubs they've got involved is amazing, you know?
It's brilliant. Yeah, she's doing some really great things in Ibiza with the local charity there called Ibiza Preservation Fund as well, and Plastic Free Ibiza. So, you know, really connecting the dots there, especially, you know, Ibiza is such a hub in terms of how many DJs get there. So You know, it's been a real great shift. And I think, you know, moving forward, especially after this disruption, it's going to be exactly the same. You know, people are really going to start rethinking some of their decisions that they're making.
Reverting back down to the people before profit, that sort of reciprocates right across to literally mental health is such a hot topic right now. So essentially you're going to find artists are finally having a bit of breathing space, a bit of time. And then step aside and go, well, hold on, actually, rather than counting up how many gigs, how much profit can be made, how much time can I actually allocate to look after my own wellness, my own well-being? Mm-hmm. So it kind of flips in roundabouts, but can sort of vary and can ripple across almost any industry and to any aspect that you want.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, and especially, you know, as an artist, you know how much they have to travel just for gigs. It's not like, well, it seems very luxurious when you look from the outside, but, you know, traveling is not fun. So, you know, this downtime is probably going to be a good thing, to be honest, just to reevaluate some of those aspects. And, you know, they're almost in isolation when they're traveling from gig to gig, antisocial hours, that kind of thing. And, you know, well-being is such a big part that, you know, we've got it as one of our brand values now, because we just realised it's quite easy to kind of let work spiral out of control a little bit. And then you lose sight of, you know, making sure that everyone in the team's really well, you know, mental health is good, the physical health is good as well. So we've actually put it as one of our brand values, just to always make sure that we're, you know, considering that in anything that we're doing, any projects that we're doing as well.
That's really cool. Yeah, I'm fully into physical. It's physical. I started physical exercise probably 2 or 3 years ago, and it's changed the way I think and changed the way I do things. And it's such a part of my day now that, like, I miss it. When I had an injury last year and I missed it so much for such a long period. Now it's go do some work, go for a run. Great, feel much better, you know.
Yeah, especially if you're a DJ or an artist, you know, when you're doing late nights, and you don't have the motivation to get up sometimes as well. All the endorphins that go around as a consequence, it becomes quite addictive in the end. Like, I know when we had a big stint, and we haven't been after this, you know, not allowed to go to the gym at the minute, but, you know, it does become really, really addictive. And you want to, like, keep going, because you feel so much better after a while. It's great.
Yeah, the full mindset changes, and I mean, that's what we also incorporate everything from meals, community meals with the team, and so you'll get to socialize, connect that way through the meditation. I mean, you're finding a lot of people in the music industry are starting to actually realize that there's a whole other aspect to a nightlife regime.
Yes, agreed. Yeah, yeah. I did meditation for a bit. I should be back into it, but it's one of those things that's on my to-do list, but I know I should do it and I don't, which is bad of me. Well, on the exercise from home though, I started doing this guy called The Body Coach on YouTube, and he's incredible. Like, literally 20 minutes at home, you feel so much better. Or your hotel room.
Yeah, exactly. And that's all you need. You need, like, resources like that where it makes it easy. So them kind of apps are great. I mean, for meditation, I don't know if you've used Headspace before. I mean, it's been around for a little while, but his voice is not, you know, he's quite, like, easy to listen to, I find. And
I have it installed, and I should do it when I get up in the morning. I keep saying to myself I should do it in the morning, because by the time I get to the end of the day, I'm literally, it's fall asleep, because I work quite long days, you know. And I should do it first thing, and I will do.
Yeah, I mean, that's how we kind of have our routine, even with our staff as well, is like before the phone goes on in the morning, because, you know, as soon as you switch your phone on, you get a barrage of emails, and same, you know, I'm sure for pretty much everybody. So we make sure that we meditate before the phone goes on, and then after that, you're ready to kind of face the world, and that kind of works quite well.
And that way, when you start with an analytical edge, because you sit there, you've had time to breathe, and then you go, right, now what? And you start to put everything in the compartments rather than just run.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, I'm going to start doing it again. I've got Headspace installed, and I did use something on YouTube before, but I'll start again tomorrow.
Amazing. Promise.
Thank
you. And moving on, so, you know, one thing, you know, this period of time is really going to allow people to do is have a really good evaluation of what's important for them. So, you know, we've really been, I hate to think how many years now, but it's been like mass consumerism. There's so many adverts. It's really just been a sensory overload over the last probably even 20 years, I'd say, when the internet was really like starting to boom.
Yeah,
so I think for that period, we've just had like, yeah, sensory overload. And now it's really a good time to really reevaluate where we are right now. And are we on track? Because, you know, I think when you have so many like adverts around you and things like that, it does make you want to buy everything. But now we're going to kind of be in isolation away from everything. It's a good time to like relook at everything. And I think it's going to be a huge evolution of, you know, where we're going to go next with this as well. Like what is going to, you know, if we're going to change into more, you know, with everyone being in isolation and everything, are we going to really start finding, you know, meaningful experiences being more important than, you know, any material object?
Yeah.
You know, those kind of connections and social interactions, I think, you know, by the end of this, we're going to be so happy to be on a dance floor together at a festival in the pub. You know, I mean, it's not stopped for us here in England, but for many people, you know, that reality has been taken away in the last couple of weeks.
So, yeah, and I think online people have tended to become desensitized and there's natural cause and effect, whereas now people are actually starting to actually consume what they see is relevant to them. And that could be something, as I said, taking the time out to literally to engage on different platforms, to reconnect with people, to look at anything rather than what's being fed to them whilst they're on the fly.
And it's a great time for education as well. So, you know, we've seen some great DJ groups kind of coming together, like this DJ Growth Lab. I know Dawley's got his kind of like educational piece that he's doing with his retreat. Roger Sanchez as well is doing some bits. So you're starting to see these kind of communities build up. And I think, you know, the music industry has been kind of like working in silos a little bit, where everyone's doing their own thing. And, you know, one good thing I hope will come out of this is people start working together a little bit more.
A broad spectrum sort of support network.
Yeah, I agree. Very aware of those groups. Dawley was actually the last person on my podcast. He was the one before you. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, go and listen to it now. It's amazing. Yeah.
That's all homework.
Yeah, I agree. Those groups are great. And obviously, if you've not joined our group, go and join our group as well. It's amazing.
Yeah, they're brilliant. And, you know, I think especially the larger DJs as well out there, they should be really trying to help, you know, the ones that are really going to be affected right now, you know, who really need those, you know, 2 to 4 gigs a month to survive.
Yeah.
You know, the bigger DJs, you know, they have production right now, but they've, you know, probably squirreled away lots of cash, whereas it's not the same reality for everybody else. So it'd be great to see some of those, you know, taking the forefront of that and helping the other people underneath, really, you know, really in the underground, be able to rise up a little bit more.
Building collectives and sort of really sort of becoming champions of different things.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the bigger DJs doing free production stuff on their Instagram the last couple of days. Like I saw Michael Bibby doing one last night. He was literally talking through what he was doing, and I think he must have had 2,500 people watching it at the same time on LG, which is amazing. Like, yeah.
I think your stats at the moment are going to be through the roof. I think you're going to love looking back through those because you can sort of see, you identify which territories and where's strongest and where to go next.
Yes, I agree. I think it'd be nice if Facebook and Instagram gave a bit more free organic reach in this period.
I know, that'd be the one. Yeah, they're terrible with that. And, you know, it's going to be great, I think, to kind of see, you know, so many people have creative blocks as well, especially when you're doing production. So, you know, seeing some of the bigger artists do some of these kind of live streams with that kind of element, trying to help people, you know, get into that creative sphere, because it does take a little while sometimes to get warmed up and, you know, get into the motion of it all.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what comes out of this from a music point of view, like what music comes, like always with the worst of times, the some of the best music's come out of it because people have been in different states of places, you know. So I'm also excited to see what music really kind of gets, how music is found in this period. Like, there's obviously a lot of people doing live streams, and that's where a lot of people are going to find new music at the moment, because that's where people are playing in it. But it's you're in a completely different, you're not dancing on a dance floor. You are sit at home. You're sat in your living room, and that means you're going to like essentially different records because of where you are in your location. So yeah, it's an interesting time, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely based on how you're going to consume it. And then you're seeing platforms and everything from Spotify through to Bandcamp. They're all literally starting to relax back on their incomes and trying to support the industries, which is finally a positive to see. But also, I think you may be musically starting to see things become territorial. As you said, through adversity. Primarily for years, England always had things to champion. The punk era, they had when garage broke through, drum and bass, they had things, identities for each country and territory. And obviously now we always have like traditional US house and so forth, and the Berlin champion push forward, the deeper side back through the regurgitation of techno, which is really slamming it worldwide at the minute. But I think there's going to be more identity. People start to go, well, actually, I can tell that one's made it in Estonia. That's a Croatian track. So I think they're going to connect. I think you're going to sound, hear more specific sounds come through.
Yeah, I agree. That's interesting. I haven't thought about that. That's really cool.
I think the most exciting thing, what music is going to come out of this, because like you said, during these really difficult times, there's some great stuff that comes out. And how that genre, all the different genres are going to change somewhat.
It's always about collaboration and partnerships, strategic partnerships, and that doesn't mean it's always geared towards a commercial entity. It's normally towards who you can align with or who you actually get along with.
Yeah, and what's been what you can achieve. I guess now, I guess what you can achieve online with what you've got, essentially.
Exactly. Throw it into the mixing pot and see how it comes out.
Yes, I'm very, very looking forward to it. And then into the future.
Yeah, and you know, one big aspect that we really talk about is, you know, adopting an infinite mindset as well.
Yep.
This is really, you know, I suppose business in general and the how we do things has just been changing. So we started out very much thinking of an end goal. So that might be, you know, a revenue figure. It could be, you know, doubling the size of the business, but it's just like an end goal vision.
Yeah.
And now what we're really encouraging people to do, and this is really what Simon Sinek really says, is Sinek even, is about really adopting this infinite mindset, which is it's not an end goal. It's more, you know, just to stay in the game. And it's a great way to think about, you know, yeah, business, cool. Working, it, you know, seeing it as a game is actually makes it a little more fun anyway. And then, you know, it's about, you know, really staying in it, so it's for longevity. So we're not thinking about beating that competitor all the time, which is, you know, the old age adage that we always have. You know, we want to beat, you know, we don't hear Apple saying we always want to beat Microsoft. It's usually that we want to, you know, be the best version of ourselves, that kind of thing. So it's really adopting that kind of mindset for the future and applying that to the music industry as much as possible as well.
You also found a lot of historical or profile last or leverage over decades. They've traditionally done what they do and doing it very well. They don't tend to jump with trends and to earmark certain things they want to follow. They do what they do and they just drive it home. That's what they do.
So yeah, it's looking at things a little bit differently, and especially during this, you know, this period, that, you know, not thinking of the end goal at all, just thinking, you know, how can we just maintain our position here? How can we make sure we're still in the game? And, you know, that will help with the innovation side of things as well, and like your strategy around what you do in this period, really.
How can we engage people, and then also how can we encourage people?
Yeah, adapting to the surroundings, I guess, as well.
Mm. Totally.
And, you know,
Go on. What can I change? What can I change to keep me in the game, but look at it a different way, you know?
Yeah, and it is really not about working like individually as well. It's really about the collaboration side of things. And so within like the music industry community, how you really cement your place there as well, depending on the types of things that you're doing and your position there and whether you're helping people out or not, that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, I agree. And we're doing so much of that now. Literally yesterday we sat and went, right, what can we do? How are we going to do this? What are we going to do with those? What are we going to do with these artists? How are we going to help those? Yes, how are we going to hire new artists? New talent is the big thing for us. So, yes, that's our position for sure.
Perfect. Great to hear. Because, I mean, it's good to always to see someone else that's really proactive and also breaking down the template. Because a lot of people just go, right, I do this, this plus this equals this. Mm. It's quite the opposite, really. You have to look at a broad spectrum, which is obviously what you guys are doing incredibly well.
Yeah, I think there's three people in this current climate. There's the ones that are going to innovate and change. There's the ones that are going to sit around saying the world's going to end, and then there's the ones that are going to be drunk watching Netflix.
Eating all the Doritos.
Yeah, and give it a matter of months and then they'll be like, and now what? So yeah, exactly agree.
Yeah.
And we all have to club together on this, really. We're not going to get through this alone. It has to be like a joint effort. We have to know who our partners are, you know, in terms of like business or artists or labels or whoever they're going to be. And, you know, we need to all be singing off the same hymn sheet and just helping each other. I think that's the only way we're going to get through this.
Pretty much looking at it as a change maker mindset.
Yeah, totally. I completely agree with you. I'm really enjoying this. It's wonderful.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, really looking into the future, I mean, if everyone wants to check the blog post after, there are some little tasks to do in the interim just to kind of get the mind ticking over. But we always say, you know, there's no time like the now just to really start mapping out some of these ideas. We're a big fan of, like, mind mapping, obviously being a creative agency. So you just, and people who done that before, I can't imagine many DJs have, but it's such a great tool and it's great for the creative mind as well to do.
A lot of DJs probably very early on in their career when it comes to literally their name or their profile or their brand or their imagery, but then they literally box that off, put it away.
This is like literally getting anything out, and it could be something that sounds like a terrible idea, it doesn't matter, and you just start with one word. So it could be, for example, the type of music that they're doing, and then they go through all the different angles and branches of the arm, so to speak, about, you know, what that could be, and, you know, where they want to put that music, you know, what kind of territories do they want to target, everything. So what we can do after this is also create like a bit of a mind map example as well, so that might help.
That'd be amazing. We could give it as a download.
Yeah, get it as a download so people can use that as like a starter for 10. I prefer, I'm like old school, I prefer pen and paper, but, you know, we can get one done digitally so it's easy to do online. And it would just help to get a brainstorm. You know, it doesn't have to be, it's great when you've got different people from different industries as well. So if it's like a friend or something who's completely out the loop with music, you know, more the better, because then you can just start mapping out different ideas and different concepts. Sometimes better to have a different viewpoint on there as well.
You'll always find creative have like a various vision compared to people that have literally look outside of that aspect as well. So literally the more shades the better.
Yeah, I do that with my friend. She's an influencer in cats, and she's basically a cat nurse, and she's been a cat nurse for such a long time, and she's basically been building up her social profile, and I've been helping her build, grow up, and helping her start a podcast. And she sort of says loads of stuff, and I go, "Why don't you do this, this, and this?" And she's like, "Whoa, that'd be really cool." You know, it's definitely been, I've been that person for her essentially.
Excellent. Yeah, and we're all natural marketeers. It's just tapping into that. You know, really, marketing is just about being good with people, understanding people. It really is that simple. I know, like, in the business world, it makes everyone get a bit fearful because of the different terminologies that we give to everything. But old school marketing, especially in the music industry, people really had it nailed back in like the 90s and before, because it was really all about the connections that you had with people. And that doesn't have to be lost because, you know, we've gone through digital platforms. If anything, we need to go back to that a little bit more and keep them connections going, especially during a period of like social distancing like we've got right now.
Yes, those connections, having connections is going to be the way forward, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, we're lucky we've got technology on our side this time.
So essentially having internet connection as well.
I agree. Wicked. This has been amazing. And yeah, I'll link this blog post in the show notes for this show, and link it on anything I post up. So on our site, so that people can actually read the whole thing as well. It's been incredible to talk to you. And thank you for joining me on this podcast. It's been truly wonderful to speak to you. And I wish you all the best in this time.
Great, yeah, amazing, a pleasure to connect, and full support for Data Transmission, all your friends, all your family, and let's do this again soon.
Yeah, amazing, yeah, we'll do it again soon.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Cheers,
bye.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast, I hope you enjoyed it. If you have, please go, if you're listening to an Apple podcast, please go and give it a rating, give it a thumbs up, share it. It really helps the podcast grow on Apple Podcasts. And goes up the chart, which means we can get bigger guests with bigger numbers, and which gives you more information and more tips. Thanks so much again for joining us. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time. I've been Graham Farmer. Bye.